decided to get myself out of the way and bring back up this gentleman. He is one of the humblest people you could ever be around. Mike Million knows he's one of my favorite people in the company, and I don't just say that. He just makes you feel like a rock star, right? You know how sometimes you can be around someone and you kind of feel like you're getting just lip service, like, you know, you're just being nice, you're just saying that. But when this man talks to you, you know he talks to you. You know, he actually takes the time to connect. He's such a giver, such a lover of people. And for the kind of success, and it really is telling, you know, because when someone has the kind of success, that's been his philosophy. And he'll be sharing with us a lot more about his journey, how he got to be here. And so it is my honor and privilege to bring back to the front of the room my good friend of yours, a Millionaire Club member, platinum executive director, $600,000 ring earner, Mr. Mike Million. Yes. When this man talks to you, you know he talks to you. You know, after you get to contact, he's such a giver, such a lover.
Let's give it up for Mr. Ryan Buffington Papers. I travel the country fairly extensively, and you guys probably understand this, but you have some of the finest leadership in all Legal Shield right here in this room, okay? And not just with the Burns, but George and the Crabtrees, you know, and it goes on and on. Mrs. Foster, you know, up-and-coming stars, my good friend Mr. Orion Parker, and a whole bunch of you guys back there who are up-and-coming, you know. Shout out to Josh. That's amazing what you're doing there, sir. Appreciate that. But I'll tell you, it's that, you know, I'm gonna talk tonight. I did a Super Sunday, and I don't know why these guys have me doing a Super Sunday. I really prefer not to do Super Sundays. But I was in San Francisco, and Mikhail Mekki said, "Listen, that's where we're doing it. Can you do it?" So I said, "Fine," and we did it. And I was staying with Kai Deering, and those of you know Kai, she's a wonderful human being. The day before, Kai says to me, she goes, "Well, what are you going to train on tomorrow?" And I said, "Well, I don't really know yet." So the next morning, we were driving to the Super Saturday, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat. I start scribbling some notes, and I go, and I said, "Maybe you can help me write my training." Now, years and years ago, when I was like 29 years old, was when I decided I wanted to become a public speaker. And so, you know, one of my mentors always said, you know, the best thing you can do right away is find a book to read about it. You know, then find some people that can teach you what you need to know. So I bought Dale Carnegie's book, How to Speak in Public. Right? He'd written How to Win Friends and Influence People, but he also wrote a book called How to Speak in Public. So I read it, and here was the interesting thing that I read in that book. Of all the different things it came to was that in order to be a good public speaker, you want to be able to know your material so well that if you're speaking for, like, say, an hour, you literally could speak for five. You know that much about what you're talking about. And how do you know what you're talking about? You know, here's what I learned. When I first got involved in network marketing, I had the privilege of going to a conference, and the guest speaker was Mr. Jim Rohn. And there was about 700 people in the room, and I was sitting about halfway back. I just had a little notebook. I'm taking these notes in. And Jim Rohn covered a lot of the basics and fundamentals that day, which I was very happy for because I didn't know them. And he said this. He said, I'll tell you different two things he said. First of all, there's different kinds of knowledge, right? There's book knowledge that you learn from studying or going to a seminar or things like that, right? There's activity knowledge. You learn by going out there and doing it, trying out what you've learned. There's modeling knowledge. You find somebody who's been successful and you sort of copy them to some extent or another. And then there's teaching knowledge. And teaching knowledge comes from you've learned enough that that you get asked to share that information with other people. And usually when you're doing teaching knowledge, you know, as you first get involved in teaching knowledge, you realize that you're learning a lot more as, you know, preparing to share that information with other people, okay? But then Jim Rohn said something else in the same training. He said, if you want to make money, if you want to make money here in our industry, what you're number one, you got to learn the business, okay? And then number two, you've got to learn to teach the business, okay? In order to learn to teach the business, what do you have to do here? You've got to gather some people together. some people who are willing to listen to what you have to say, right? But then number three says, you want to make the really big money? And I'm sitting there like, you know. He says, you want to learn to teach people to teach the business. And really the way that I regard working a Super Saturday, an event like today, is that my goal and my job here is to teach you in such a way that the information is usable, you can get out there and develop the activity knowledge so that you can turn around and begin to teach the business and eventually teach to teach. When you're teaching to teach, why is that? How is that? It's because now you've not just gathered some people around you, but you help them move along the pathway to success and such. You know, So I was making my notes on, with Kai driving, and so then I'm going to just give you a little more inside information. So I'm a big fan of Jim Rohn's, and I'm a big fan of Brian Tracy's. And something that both Jim and Brian said and had in common was they said in any area of expertise, anything that you're going to learn and to master it, he says there's usually only six or seven areas that you need to master. So anything that you might come down, you could probably delineate six or seven things. And then Brian Tracy said, in any area that, you know, you want to master, there's usually about a half a dozen things. So it sounds like pretty familiar to six or seven, right? Well, what I've done is I've delineated 8 points here today for you guys. 8 things that I'm going to talk about over the next while. And a lot of success, not just in our business, but a lot of success in life, is much more dependent on attitudinal things than on things to do, right? For example, if your attitude's right, picking up the phone and talking to people is no big deal. If your attitude's not right, picking up the phone and talking to people can be excruciating, right? So what Jim Rohn always had to say, and he said, you know, in our business, in this type of business, you're better off working on yourself than on your business. When you work on yourself, it naturally translates into taking the actions to work on your business. You know, I'm not sure who actually said this. I've heard different people quote different people, but the saying is about 4 hours to chop down a tree. I spend 3 of those hours sharpening my axe. And when you come to a Super Saturday, much more than anything else, what you're doing is sharpening your axe. What you're doing is really, you know, gleaning ideas and ideas that then you can take out and put into practice to enhance your success in your business and also, you know, your success in your life. So number one is the sense of possibility. That many times, here's one of the things I believe that we do in our business. It's really interesting, is we give people another chance. That oftentimes people come to our industry and come to Legal Shield and they're looking at the business opportunity because things have not gone right. And the plan they bought wasn't a great plan, right? Or the plan they bought wasn't going to get them where they wanted to go. I've got a good friend of mine that many of you know his story if you've hung around with Legal Shield a bit. Guy's name is Chip Humphrey. You guys know Chip? So Chip taught middle school next to my down the hall from one of my younger brothers, my brother Jim. We lost Jim a couple of years ago, Jim was telling Chip about the business and Chip said it. If you ever make more than $1,000 in a month doing this, come back and show it to me. So there was a bonus program on place, and my brother Jim got a $1,500 bonus. So before he cashed that check, he brought it into school and showed it to Chip. So Chip said, okay, I'll come on out. And Chip's goal, if you ever listen to his testimonial, he wanted to make an extra $500 to $1,000 because he was a school teacher. But when I met Chip, what impressed me the most about him, not only was he a school teacher, but he had gone back to university in his early 40s to get his master's degree to get into administration because they paid administrators about $20,000 more than they paid school teachers in the state of Florida. So Chip became an assistant principal, and when he first got involved, he wanted to make an extra $500 to $1,000, and he got pretty good at doing that. He's pretty good at talking to people, but he's also the assistant principal in a school that has about 500 to 600 graduates every year in Vero Beach, Florida. My parents lived at, in Sebastian, Florida, so anyway, so the next town over. So my Chip and my parents got to know each other fairly well because none of us lived around there, but whenever there were hurricanes, Chip would go over to my parents' house and put up their hurricane shutters. So I wouldn't know. So right away, I mean, he didn't do anything else, and as far as I was concerned, he was part of the family forever, right? But Chip went along, and he was doing the business okay, doing okay, doing okay. And then after he was with us for about 5 or 6 years, he went out to a conference, and he came back, and he said to me, he says, you know, I've not been thinking about this properly. You know, I've been thinking that, you know, I'm good for an extra $500,000. But he goes, but, you know, if Mike Humes can go from being a postal man to being a 500,000 ring earner, you know, if you and Steve could do what you guys have done, what am I thinking? And so the number one thing is possibility. And here's what changed for Chip was all of a sudden he went from seeing himself, like not, he didn't see it, like all the big stuff as possible for him, but then he took a step over and he started seeing it as possible. Out of that sense of possibility, he changed his whole business. And I'll, you know, and I'll go through some of the other steps, but out of that sense of possibility, Chip went from, you know, making an extra $1,000, and here's how, $1,000 a month, here's how Chip's business looked like. His first year, he made $2,000. His second year, he made $8,000. His third year, he made $15,000. Okay? The fourth year, he got distracted by some different things, and he basically took his foot off the gas, and it went back down to $8,000. Next year, about the same. Then he came to me, and that's when he had the possibility, aha. And the next year, he made $15,000. The year after that, $25,000. The year after that, $35,000. The year after that, $55,000. The year after that, he made $75,000, which was more money than he was making now as an assistant principal. So his salary and his legal show money combined was about $150,000, right? Well, that just continued. About 3 years later, he broke $100,000. I believe last year he broke $200,000. And he's all this time, he's doing his business part-time with a full-time job as an assistant principal. Okay? Now, as an assistant principal, I lived in the same town as him after my mom had passed because I wanted to be near my dad. And so he and I would hang out together. And we would be, you know, doing the event around the event on a Tuesday night. And it'd be hit 11 o'clock and he'd go, I got to go. Why? Because he had to be up at 5 a.m. Now, I was like, man, that's awful early, right? But he had to be up at 5 a.m. And so for the last bunch of times, the whole time I've known him, he's, you know, not 10 months a year, not 12 months a year, but 10 months a year, he's up at 5 a.m. and working until 5 in the afternoon and then building his business on the side. Never misses a briefing, runs the briefing in that area, never misses it, dot, ba, ba, ba. But Chip just retired from being an assistant principal. Okay? So, but check this out. This is what I, like, you know, they say life is, you know, life is what we all get. Lifestyle is how you choose to live your life. So Chip, of course, not of course, but he never misses the performance club trips. And so he was in the Bahamas last week. And he's in the Bahamas, and he was scheduled to come back from the Bahamas originally on last Sunday, and last Monday and Tuesday, this is just last Monday and Tuesday passed, where it's going to be his last 2 days at work. So he said, you know, that doesn't make much sense. So he extended his Bahamas trip, and instead of being at school on his last day of work, he was out marlin fishing in the Atlantic Ocean on his last day of work. So he retired on vacation, and you know, not only is he making over, you know, a six-figure income, but he's a millionaire club member with Legal Shield, all while he had a full-time job. Okay, now I say that because number one, what really catapulted him to success was him all of a sudden adopting a true sense of possibility. And what I say to you is, if he could do it while he worked that job, what about you? Doesn't it mean that it's possible for you too? And there is, this is one of the biggest things, folks, because so many times when I talk to people about the success that they want, when I, you know, ask a few questions, I realize that they literally have not, you know, sort of graduated to a vantage point where they see that success as possible for them. And so you want to, so this is really one of those things that's an inner thing that you've got to do inwardly. You have to ask yourself, do I truly see the success as possible for me? And if the answer is no, figure out how to start to see that, you know, start to cultivate that sense of possibility. Read the books that way. The other thing to do right there is hang out with the people that see it possible for themselves. You know, I mean, I've known Ryan for now about 10 years, I guess, that we first met, you know, and when he first got involved, he didn't see the success he's already enjoying. You know, he wasn't in that zone, but now he is, right? And now the success he sees is beyond the success he's created today. And that's what you want to have. You know, when we hit a quarter of a million, that was so far beyond what I had wanted. I was looking for about 100 grand a year. I said, man, if I can make 100 grand a year, you know, for the rest of my life, that would be awesome. You know, had they offered me 100 grand a year for the rest of my life, I might have signed a contract to do that, and that would have been a bad thing. Because by my first year in Legal Shield, we cracked a quarter of a million, right? And then we went from a quarter of a million, now we got the $600,000 one was pretty funny. Me and Steve, like, you know, we figured we were at about $450,000 for the year. So I wasn't even, and we'd already gotten the $500,000 ring, so I didn't see ourselves as in the hunt for a ring just yet. And I'm doing a three-way phone call. You ever been on a three-way phone call that's sort of annoying? Yeah, it's not just me, right? And I'm thinking, why did they even put me on a phone with this guy? And he's like, you know, so I'm being polite, and I'm thinking, how can I move this along? When my phone, I get another call coming in, and it's from Legal Shield. So I think, normally I wouldn't break up a three-way phone call to take any other call, but I really didn't want to be on the phone anymore. I said, listen, guys, I've been expecting a call from corporate, and this is it. So I got to get off the call right now. You know, I'll ring you back, you know, in a half an hour if that's cool. So I take the call, and it's Legal Shield, and the woman says, this is Dolores. And if you guys know who Dolores is the person who's in charge of calling people up and telling you you got a new ring advancement. And I'm like, Dolores? She goes, yeah, I want to tell you guys just qualified for the $600,000 ring. I was like, what? So I like got a few more details. I go off the phone, quickly called up Steve, said, Steve, guess what? And that's a good phone call to be able to make and stuff. But so we get the $600,000 ring. I still haven't gotten it. Me and Steve and Kim take turns every time we get a ring and the other person gets it. Because the company doesn't give you three of them, blah, blah, blah. But I did get my ring size measured. It's a 9.5. But I still haven't filled out the paperwork. So I'll get to it. It's on my list of things to do this week. But anyway, so just going back to number one, cultivating that sense of possibility and including yourself in the possibility. You know, so if you do stuff like visualization, stuff like that, it's a good practice to have, but see it as possible, okay? See it as possible. And number two pulls directly from that. And number two is this, is create a vision for your life if you haven't already done it. And that vision for your life, guys, this is like, there's a hope that this is not like a you do it and it's done. This is like an ongoing work in progress. You have to continue to visit what you want. You know, Michael Gerber, who wrote the E-Myth, said the most important question anybody can ask themselves and answer for themselves is, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want to see happen? So we have tremendous, tremendous powers of manifestation as human beings. What you hold to be true tends to manifest in your life experience. And so when you create a vision, you want to create a very clear picture of what it is you want to create in your life, how you want to use that ability in your life, what it is you want to, you know, I'll put it like this, is that I've found, this is something, and you can try it on for size, but I have found out that life will deliver to you or to me what we are willing to settle for, okay? And so my recommendation is don't settle. Get very clear about what it is you want. And how do you do it? All different ways. Creating a dream board is a great exercise. Many of you know Steve Baker. Have you ever run into Steve? Steve Baker, when I met him, to say he was a little bit cynical would be an understatement. He was cynical. It was, you know, some people are cynical in life and they joke around about it and that's part of their persona and their personality. That's what Steve was like. But one of the times, and he was talking on a call the other night, he said that when I first sat down with him, and we were sitting in a session, and we did dream boards together, a whole bunch of us, just cut out pictures of images of things we want. He goes, I did it because that was the exercise. But he goes, but quite honestly, I thought it was a bunch of malarkey. I thought, this is crazy, hooey-hooey stuff. He goes, but last week, I found the dream board that I made 6 years ago, and I was going through some stuff in the garage, and I found the dream board, and I looked at it, and he said every single thing he put on that board had come to pass. Every single thing. At the time, he was living in Minnesota. He now lives on the water in Florida. At the time, he had a little pond in his backyard he can fish in. Now he can fish in the intercoastal 100 yards that way and the ocean 40 yards that way, right? And at the time, he had no boat. Now he's got himself a boat. At the time, he had never made a $100,000 ring. Now he's made the $250,000 ring. On and on and on. But all things that he began to put on that dream board, and when you put it on a dream board, you look at the dream board and it begins to imprint in your subconscious mind, right? So creating a visual for yourself, another thing you can do is just have a journal and say, if anything were possible in my life, here's where I would live. If anything were possible, here's who I associate with. If anything were possible, here's where I'd vacation. If anything were possible, here's the kind of car I drive. And everybody's different. Some people want more things. Other people want more experiences. And what you want is really up to you. You get to decide that. You really, truly get to decide that. And so my recommendation there is create a vision and then work on that vision. Now, here's what happens. Here's where we are right here. And that vision is almost always up here, right? It's something that's beyond what we have today. If you keep a clear fixate, you stay fixated on your vision, not overnight, but over time, this is reality, current reality right here, current reality will tend to resolve in favor of your vision. The mistake so many people make is they have a vision, and they're here, and they're not there yet, so they drop their vision. And when you drop the vision, all the tension that you built up in it goes away. And so Brian Crothers was talking this a couple of weeks ago. In our business, the way that looks is so many people start, they get started and they do well, and then they sort of pull back on the throttle prematurely. I'm not sure you should ever pull back on the throttle, but in our business, you really can do that if that's what you choose to do. But you don't want to do it until you've really hit some substantial goals. And I go back to this. When we hit the $250,000 ring, I didn't see us making $500,000. And so what that led me to do and was not include that in my vision at the time. That was a mistake. When Brian Crothers hit the $500,000 and we had beat him to the $250,000, I thought, he just proved to me what? That's possible. So then I said, okay, if Brian can do it, I got to rework up here. And see, this is why the attitudinal part's so important. Because it was my attitude that was precluding my success in that situation. I didn't see it as possible for me, so I wasn't even, visualizing it, and I wasn't taking the actions necessary to get there. Once I started seeing it as possible, I retooled my vision and my activity level. Only maybe a couple of years, 3 years after that, we got the $500,000 ring. Okay. So, number one, possibility. Number two, creating a clear vision for yourself. And again, I'd say keep working on that vision. Like I said earlier, let it be a work in progress. Okay, number three, and this is a big one for, if you want to build a big team, there's something you got to get really good at, and I call it selling the dream. You want to get good at selling the dream. So, how is that? That means I can show Mike what's possible. I can speak to you know, I can speak to Orion. So, Orion, if anything were possible in your life, what would you have in your life? And, you know, if I could show you a way of getting there, if we could use this vehicle of Legal Shield to accomplish those dreams, would you be willing to then pay the price? And, of course, there's a price to be paid, right? There's always a price to be paid. Here, I don't think the price to be paid is prohibitive, but it's a price to be paid. You know, you're going to, like my brother Steve, I don't know who he's quoting when he says this, but in order to, you got to give up to go up. You know, like, I can't be here working here and in essence paying a price and be, you know, at the Yankee game in Oakland in the same afternoon. So you're maybe giving some things up to do other things. And that business, you're sacrificing, but, you know, what's the sacrifice? Like the six steps of goal setting really quickly, right? Number one is you want to write it down, your goal. Number two, you want it to be specific. Number three, you want to have a time element involved. And then number four, you want to have a game plan. Okay? Number five is you want to recognize that there's a price to pay. Because sometimes people want the success, but they don't want the price. If you want the success, the price to pay is there. You know, now here the price to pay is easy. It's really more than anything at all, it's committing to the system. It's committing to the 10 core commitments. It's committing to, you know, reaching out and talking to at least two people a day. When we got started, we never counted. We talked to as many people as willing to listen, right? I mean, like Brian Crothers says, he worked from eight till faint. And Steve and I did that, and I always joke around about it. In the beginning, we were broke, right? So people say, you guys seem to have a competitive advantage. I go, yeah, we were broke. When you're broke, you got no money, or not much, so there's not much you can do, and you got plenty of time. So I think we might as well use that time to build ourselves an empire. You know, and if you haven't read Brian's book, I mean, if you haven't gotten it, I think it's one of the best, if not the best book I've read on network marketing. It's a great book. But you're building an empire, so, you know, so there's the vision, right? Building an empire, but you've got to then be willing to pay the price that it takes to do it. Here's what my brother said on a call day before yesterday. He says, I'll tell you over and over and over again, the price we paid was worth it. And, you know, we'll continue to pay the price to get more, you know, to do more. I mean, right now, I don't think Legal Shield as a company has ever been positioned better than it is today. I don't think the opportunity has ever been better. People might say, oh, you got involved when George did 18 years ago, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's still wide open today. It seems to be just as wide open as it was back then, right? But now we've got better tools. We've got more. We've got a great, our pay program is amazing. The Performance Club program is amazing. But selling the dream, guys. Guy Kawasaki, who worked on the Macintosh computer years ago in the 80s, wrote a book called Selling the Dream. And the first half of it's really about, like, almost like being evangelical in the business arena, that you're out there selling the dream, you're selling the vision, you're enrolling other people in the vision of success here, but also reaching out and enrolling them in their success. You know that. But my intention here today is to help you enroll yourself in your success, and you sign on for that. You know, and then you have a clear vision. You continue to reinforce that sense of possibility. And then when you're out there selling the dream, you sort of have crossed the line from, you know, from just looking out for yourself, but now you're out there helping other people. And in that business, that's where the money is. It's in helping other people. You know, and that is so, so important. I mean, the reason George is as successful as he is he's helped many, many people protect their families and others, you know, increase their lot in life. Right? Same way with the Burns. Same way with, you know, anybody that you run into. When you go out and you hang out with the Platinums and stuff, you know, it's pretty incredible, because if you look at the Platinum Executive Directors on the Platinum World Council, they're from all over, every different walk of life. You know, different kinds of people, different backgrounds, different parts of the country. There's a bunch of things they have in common, and among them is they've learned to sell the dream. You know, when I first started working with Jeff Bell, I sent Jeff my notes on what we needed to do to make the company better, only because he was open and receptive to it. But one of the things that I always saw right there is that the leadership is so vital, that, you know, that, and then the CEO of the company, and that was Jeff. His stance is so important. And here's what I told him. I said, I think the number one goal of that leader is to be able to articulate the vision for the company, for the field, to be able to articulate that vision as clearly as possible and then hold that torch up. And I think Mr. Bell does an amazing job at that. I really do. Okay, so number four. And this is, I'm going to leave this one with just a quote from Mr. Jim Rohn. But number four is really about committing to the path of personal development. What Jim said, he says, it's not what you get, it's who you become. And then, who you become determines what you get. So it's not what you get, right? It's who you become. And who you become determines what you get. And this is the beauty of personal development. You become more. You become better. You don't really become, you're still you, but you become the best you, or you're working on becoming the best you you can be. Now, as you do that, you become an attractive force, and you attract more and more success into your life. Some people pursue the stuff, but they don't do the inner work to become more. And that's really one of the major keys here, is that you become, you grow. You know, like I joke around with my brother a lot and stuff, but when I met my brother, I met him when he was a baby. But my brother Steve is 18 years younger than I am, so we got involved in and I'll put it this way, I started first working with him when he was 23 years old, 24. He was a year or two out of college, and I was running a seminar company in New York City, and I recruited him to come to work for me. I didn't pay him very well. In the midst of that, we got introduced to network marketing, and this company, but the company we were with before that got went out of business. And in it, at that particular time, my brother really, his goals in life were not big. He didn't have a lot of goals. In fact, at age 24 years old, I would say his biggest goal was what he and his buddies were going to do on Friday night. You know, he spent more time planning for Friday night activities than he was planning for his life. But, you know, slowly we got involved and he got exposed to Jim Rohn. You know, he got exposed to Brian Tracy. He got exposed when we got here to Legal Shield, to Mr. Stone Cipher and to Wilburn and to Dave Savula. And by the way, maybe we'll just stop for a moment. Today is the one-year anniversary from us having lost Dave, and Dave passed a year ago today. So why don't we just for a second, we'll just say, keep a moment of silence for Dave and his family. Thank you so much. And for those of you who are new and don't know Dave or haven't heard of his legend, this guy is truly a legend. He's the number one money earner in Legal Shield for years and years and years. It's a year after he's passed, and guess what? He's still the number one money earner in Legal Shield. I was in a meeting 2 weeks ago back in the Atlantis, and Jeff Bell was going over the different teams and what they had done, and Dave's team had the most production growth of any team that exists, of any other part of the organization. And he's gone for a year. So you got to figure that. Okay. But same way with Dave. It's not what you get, it's who you become. And who you become determines what you get. And so what that means is you want to commit yourself to a path of improvement. You know, the Japanese call it Kaizen. It means continual improvement. And it's just a little bit, getting a little better every day. You know, and it's just... And it's totally within your power, right? I mean, you can't get 100% better tomorrow, but you can get this much better. And then you can get this much and stay that course. And if you get a little bit better every day, the compounded effect over time is you've gotten a lot better. And that's what's going to determine more than any other factor your success. Imagine that. More than any other factor is your attitude and you improving that and getting a little better every day. Now, who has the power to do that? You, right? Nobody but you, which is, I mean, that I always used to joke around about. That's the good news and the bad news. The good news is my future's in my own hands. The bad news is, oh, man. When Steve and I first heard Jim Rohn speak, and he was talking about the law of associations, we realized that, you know, if you become like the five people you hang around with, me and him are looking at each other and thinking, But here's one of the things that we did at that point in time. We improved our associations through the audios that we listened to and the books that we read. You know, and that the Jim Rohn audio that they're giving away, you know, the version that they had of that back in the 90s that we first listened to totally changed my life. Here's the thing that Jim Rohn, the number one thing I got from Jim Rohn when he talks about if it's to be, it's up to me, is that you want to take 100% responsibility for what happens on your watch. That 100%, even if it's not your fault, you still want to take responsibility for making it the way you want it to be. The difference between taking 95% responsibility and 100% is everything. Because the 5%, say you take 95%, but in 5% you blame, because that's what non-responsibility is. You're blaming somebody else for your situation, whether it's an ex-wife or it's the government or it's the Republicans or it's the Democrats, whatever Jim Rohn would say, all that stuff, right? It doesn't matter. You've got to take 100%. Because, you know, we have an entrepreneurial opportunity. Interestingly enough, is our entrepreneurial opportunity does not depend a lot on anything outside of ourselves. You know, it just really doesn't. Good news, bad news, here nobody's your boss. You know, like Deanne said earlier, she's quit many times, but her boss let her back. Why? Because she's the boss. And that's it. So it's a good news and bad news, because the bad news is most of us have learned, not necessarily through our own fault, but we've learned that we're victims of the outside. You know, or the outside has power over us. You just got to take that power back and reinvest it within yourself, right? And just bring it back, you know. And so, again, it's right there. It's not what you get. It's who you become. And you want to develop that. You want to develop that stance in your life that you're always looking to say, what I call it, like, in plan, do, and review. If you do something, you plan, do, and review. You plan it, you do it, then you review how it went. And the process of that really is for improvement, right? Why would you review it? You review it to see, well, what worked and what didn't work. What am I good at and what do I need to get better at? And here it is, in our business, most of the skills are not that complicated. You have to develop your leadership ability if you want people to follow. You know, and therefore, like, you know, attending our conference in the fall, you know, for me, it's always a done deal. Like, the company runs a conference, and I've really, you know, we behind the scenes, I'll tell you something, is that you're going to notice that up until this year, we kept calling the second conference a leadership conference. And now we've changed it to, we're calling it a convention. And I was, we were in a meeting, I said, you know, one of the things you guys want more people at that fall event, you got to stop calling it a conference. Conference sounds like a bunch of us just go, but a convention sounds like everybody comes, right? And so now from here on out, we're going to go back to running two corporate conventions a year, one in the spring, one in the fall, one in the spring, one in the fall. And then what we recommend and what the way we practice is it in the summer, we have a team event. You know, I know the Burns are going to be in Arizona for their team event this year. Same weekend, we're going to be in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania for our team event. Team events are really important because it's a smaller number of people and you get to really, you know, get to know each other better and things like that. But spring event, 90 days later, team event, you know, right now we're not quite on a 90-day clock, but we will be by 2019. Then it'll be 90 days later, it'll be our fall event. And then we always participate in a kickoff event in the beginning of January every year. We used to do one a year in Atlanta, but as our team grew, we expanded to do, we do one in Atlanta, we do one in the Anaheim, California event, and we do one up in Detroit. So we run three, we participate in three major events, and we get our whole team to come. They're usually corporate run or local run events, you know, but we also put events around the event for our team members. Breakfast, dinners, parties, things like that. Okay? Why that the 90-day cycle stuff, guys, is so important, because when I first learned the business, here's what I was taught, that we build the business in 90-day cycles. Okay? It takes 3 to 5 years to be successful. But if you look down the road, like right now in 2017, 2022 is 5 years away. It's hard to see 2022 very clearly, right? But we could all see Labor Day very clearly. You know, we just know it's just a few months away from us right now. So you can see 90 days down the road. So as a leader, we can gather our people together and we can set our goals in 90-day increments and then regather again and then set our goals for the next 90 days. You still want to have your longer-term goals. Like, you know, everyone, in my opinion, you ought to have a goal as to when you want to go platinum by. And it ought to be written. It ought to be specific, right? You ought to have a game plan involved. You ought to be recognized as the price to pay. And then, of course, the number 6 step of the goal setting, which I didn't say before, is employing your subconscious mind to help achieve that goal by posting the goal up, by having dream boards, by having affirmations, things like that. Okay? So number 1, see it as possible for yourself. Number 2, create a clear vision. Number 3, learn to sell the dream. Number 4, commit to the path of personal development. It's not what you get, it's who you become. Then number 5, and this is a big one. Number 5 is develop a genuine interest in other people. And how to win friends and influence people, right in front of the book, Dale Carnegie says, he says the whole book can be boiled down to 2 words, and that's genuine interest. If you don't, you know, if you don't care about people, this isn't a good business. In fact, it'll be a totally frustrating business because people are crazy, right? I mean, I always joke around. See, the reason I pay us the big bucks is because we put up with all those crazy people, you know. But they pay us the big bucks, so it's worth it, you know, it's once again. But you want to develop a genuine interest in others. And, that, you know, and it's a funny thing because for a lot of us who are coming into the business, you know, I mean, a lot, like for me, like, you know, my life was in an SOS situation. I needed the money. I needed to make a change. I needed what this company had to offer me. You know, but in order to do that, I had to sort of push that need aside and just work on helping other people become successful, caring about other people. Now, the more, it's like any other thing that you do, the more you practice it, the better you get at it. You know, it's a lot easier for me to care about someone's success, someone I hardly even know success, than it would have been 15 or 20 years ago. Because why did I care about their success? I was drowning myself, right? But over time, not overnight, but over time, when I recognized that I had to develop that genuine interest, I was genuinely interested in, you know, at least me and the people around me. But if you want to command and want to run a big organization, you've got to expand that, right? You've got to become a person that really develops a genuine interest. And what I have found is that not everybody, you know, we can find some bad people, but most people are intrinsically good. You know, most people, you know, and what I want to do is I want to reach there and help them draw that out. The word education comes from the Latin word educare, and it's not filling up with information, but it's drawing out from. So it's an interesting concept that so much of our real education comes from within out, becoming the people that we're capable of being. I'll talk more a little bit about that later on. But in genuine interest, you know, one of the sayings that we're all familiar with is people don't care about how much you know till they know how much you care. And so you've got to develop that ability, and it's just something that, if you don't have that, like, if you're only in it for yourself, you really ought to do something else. You know, so if you say, well, I don't really know if I have that genuine interest, my recommendation is just go home and do some soul searching and find the ways in which you really do care about others, because we all have it somewhere within us. So develop a genuine interest in other people and learn to care and learn to, you know, I mean, like, see, we're not, like, I'm not up here doing anything for you, right? But we're willing to help boost each other up. And we're in this together. That's how it is. In Legal Shield, we're in it together. I mean, it truly is. Orion's success is my success, even though I have no financial interest in his business. Why? Because all ships rise, as the tide comes in. And so we're in this together. And it's one of the reasons why, I continue to travel around and train and stuff like that. A, I love it, right? But B, we're in this together. And if I can find, the more ways I can find of giving back, and everybody in the room knows this, is that as you sow, so shall you reap. What you send out comes back to you. So what you want to do is just learn how to, is continue to practice that. And again, practice doesn't make perfect, but practice brings competence. And you get better and better at the certain at things that you do, and you practice that. Okay? So number six is going to shift gears a little bit, and this speaks directly to our business. Number six is this. It's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. Now, it's not always a numbers game. It's a numbers game until someone expresses interest. And then it bridges over to become a relationships game. Okay? But it's a numbers game until they express interest. And once they express interest, it's very important to cultivate the relationship. But you're not really going to have time to cultivate that relationship until you've exposed them to the business in such a way that they've said, I like what I see, tell me more. Okay? And then, the fundamentals, because part of the numbers game here is that it is a business of fundamentals. Jeff Bell likes to use the hashtag fun and fundamentals, right? And I will tell you this, is our business, when you're having fun, it's a pleasure. If you drop out the fun, it's a struggle. Best way to have fun is to plug in and stay close to the fire, stay close to the other people that are having fun. The law of associations really is everything. The two most important things that Jim Rohn said is your attitude and your associations, right? Your attitude is determined by the books you read, the attitude you develop, obviously. But the number one thing that influences your attitude is your associations, the people you hang out with. I say this, when things aren't going well, you can tell whether or not you want to, deal with the problem or commiserate by who you call up, right? I mean, we all know people that if we call them up, they're going to take a stand for us, feel sorry for yourself for a moment, then get over it. And let's move on. Let's get going here. Or you'll talk to other people who will go, oh, it's too bad. I know, life stinks, blah, 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 blah. Over time, you don't have, if you continue on this path, you won't have too many friends like that. They'll get tired of your good attitude. So in the fundamentals, in a numbers game, what do I mean by that? It's an exposure process, right? It's how many people you put into the funnel determines the percentage of people that have come out of that funnel. So if you talk to one person a week, there's not much pressure inside that funnel. But if you talk to 20 people a week, you start to put, a little bit of pressure in there. And so more than any single thing, it's exposing people to the ideas and the information and the opportunity, and then being a professional. And what being a professional here means, a few things. Use third party. What do we mean by third party? Anything other than you. Use the tools. If I'm not speaking in front of if I'm not doing a sales presentation in front of a group or at a luncheon or something like that, then I'm sending them to Get Paid Daily. Sending me a link to Get Paid Daily, and I'll say, did you get a chance to watch that yet? And they say, no, I say, because I'm going to tell you guys right now, the hardest thing is getting them to watch it. So if you have that, if that's been a problem for you, guess what? It's a problem for me. It's a challenge, right? Because I know how valuable the information is. I know how much money I've made over the years, but I can't use that when I'm trying to recruit somebody because, A, they won't believe me, right? And, B, it doesn't mean anything to them. But if I can show them the information, and if they, and then the question is, when you're following up, is what do you like best? Okay, the question that's not is what do you think? For some reason or another, people in our culture, if you ask them what they think, they're conditioned to find the negative. But if you ask them what they like best, we're going to answer that question. So right there, that's probably the most important question you're ever going to ask right there. And when you're following up. Now, as soon as they express interest, my complete recommendation is introduce them to somebody else. Say, listen, you know, Orion, I got that you like when you're seeing. Before, you know, before we go on for anywhere, I'd like to get my buddy Ryan on the phone. I think you'd really like his story. I think you would relate to his story. I think you relate to what he's been able to do. And then say Ryan was my upline or a person I do three ways with. I might tell Ryan, listen, I'm doing a bunch of follow up right now. So if you see me calling, it means I got somebody on the line to do a three way with. Does that work for you? We'll arrange a time together. Boom. You know, and so because what I want to do here, and remember, and it's a numbers game. It's also an exposure process. And that means that I'm going to introduce somebody to the business. And check this out. I want to introduce Orion to the business in such a way he can turn around and introduce Ashley to the business, whether I'm there or not. Right? So how do I do that? In the old days, we had a big VHS. Right? Now it's even easier because I can just send him a link. You watch this. Now he's got the link. He can send the link over to Ashley. Ashley, you got to watch this. Now, our invitation to watch the information has got to be solid. You don't want your excitement level to be way over the top, but you don't want it to be way down here either. You need to be, you know, they need to think, you know, Orion's up to something. You know, I got to see what he's up to. You know, and so in doing that, exposing Orion to the business in such a way that he can duplicate it whether I'm there or not means using the tools. Letting somebody else tell the story. And I like to get paid daily the best. Because I think it really, you know, I like the work on some of Justin Peterson's stuff. It's really good. You know, the short stuff. Then the next thing, as soon as I show some interest, the get paid daily pretty much tells most of the rest of the story. Right? Now, Orion watches get paid daily. Well, if I can't get Ryan on the phone or someone to do a three right then, I'm going to set up a time to get back with him. Because I'm saying, listen, there's somebody I want you to talk to. You know, top of the box. Just a side note, one of our tricks way, way back, we continue to use it today. If someone looks at the stuff and they've resonated positively, but they tell me, you know, I've thought about it, not now, I'm not ready right now. Here's what I say to them. I say, listen, before you make your final decision, there's somebody I'd like you to talk to. So they've just told me they made a decision, but I've just reframed their decision as not their final decision, right? It's a little trick, but it works. So again, what I'm doing is I'm exposing somebody to the business, and it's a numbers game. So how many people can I get the story told to? As your team grows, you want to make sure you're duplicating that activity. Because if I'm doing 5 exposures a day, say, right, then I got 10 people doing 2 exposures a day. That's 25 exposures a day. We do that 5 times in a week. That's 125 exposures in a week. You know, I don't know how many that's over a year because I'm not that good at math either, Ryan. I used to be really good at math. Legal Shield made me lazy. Because I used to be able to figure out every dollar I was making and where it came from. It's just about impossible for me to do it here. I mean, in fact, if I really want to try to figure out how to do it, I got to call Larry Smith up and ask him to read my reports for me. Okay, so now the fundamentals, guys, the numbers game, you know, once we introduce somebody and we successfully get them started, we want to have, you want to be doing game plan interviews with your people. You want to be spending at least 45 minutes, an hour and a half, in that range, doing a game plan interview. I prefer to do them in person, but sometimes you got to do them on the phone. You know, in today's world, it's really interesting because you can do them. You can actually do them FaceTime, so you can actually see the person. And, you know, when I sit down with somebody, say I signed Ryan up today at the meeting, I say, Ryan, listen, let's you and I do a game plan interview. We'll go over what your goals are, what you want to get out of this, and we'll come up with a game plan. Sound good? Great. You know, in the game plan interview, I do them the same. It's the same steps all the time, right? I talk to Ryan about his why. We talk about what he wants to get out of this. I show them how to advance rank, how important it is to get that, you know, that bonus. And right now, guys, that bonus, anybody who's currently in their 20 days is eligible for that bonus. And anybody that you sign up between now and the end of the month when they accomplish it within their 20 days. So you can even be signing them up right on the 29th, right? And they'll still have 20 days from there, and then that double up bonus will still be in effect. So, you know, so that's really, I mean, if those of you who take that seriously over the next 10 days, it could bring your business to a whole new level. Those of you who treat it casually, you know, I just think that's a mistake. So when I'm doing a game plan interview with Ryan, a part of my intention is obviously I'm going to find out his why. I'm going to show, you know, find out what he wants to get out of it. I'm going to show him how to advance rank. We're going to make a plan. When we make that plan, we're literally going to work on his list right then and there, set up a private business reception, set up a private conference call. I'm going to make sure he understands the weekly meeting system. And then I'm going to introduce him to, like, maybe my upline or some other partners on our team, so he knows there's more part of his upline support, so he knows there's more support than just me. If he can't reach me, he can reach somebody else, you know. And then I'm just going to very simply make sure he understands the fundamentals. And then what I want to do is then encourage him and let him know there's a system in place. And what I like to do is that it's pretty soon in the process, I'll give my new associate, Michael Humes, his 10 core commitments, right? And the reason I do it is I want him to get familiar with the idea that these are the fundamentals. These are what we do. And the fundamentals, guys, the 10 core commitments are in your back office. You know, if you don't understand the 10 core commitments, I'm not going to go over them right now. What I'd like you to do is get with either your sponsor, the person who brought you in, or your upline directors or executive directors, and just say, hey, can we have a session where I can understand the importance of the 10 core commitments? You know, so I can do it. Like, but among the 10 core commitments, probably the most important structural thing is the weekly meeting process. Yeah. Right? Now there's the weekly meeting, then there's Super Saturdays. When it's Super Saturdays, here's what I recommend. When I was first in the business, in the industry actually, I had an opportunity to talk to the CEO of the first company I worked with, and he said to me, he said, listen, you and your brother are doing well, but here's what I'm going to recommend to you. He says, we're going to run a big event every 90 days. Show up at every major event. And then here was a caveat, with a bigger team than you had the last one. Okay? And so I say, show up at every Super Saturday with more people than you had at the last Super Saturday. Even if you only add one a Super Saturday, right? By the time you're here for 3 years, you'll have a formidable organization. And and one of the things my brother's really big on is what he calls real estate in the room. This is your local area, what percentage of the room is yours? You know, what percentage of the room is part of your organization? And if you pay attention to that and you grow that, it's golden. See, no one's going to stop you from growing. You know, like Dave Samuel used to say, we're like an offensive football team with no defense. There's nobody out there looking to slow you down. You know, if any of us have any enemy here, our worst enemy is our own negative mind, chat, right? So you want to always continue to work on that. But the weekly meet. So if I got Ryan brand new, I want him to commit to the weekly meeting process. You know, I want him to understand why that's so important. You know, and over time, you know, you want to show up at the weekly meeting with a guest. Now, here's the thing, okay? If I want Orion to come to the weekly event, I can start out just inviting him to it, but more likely than not, I'm better off giving him a tool, piquing some interest, getting him on a three-way phone call, and then letting someone else invite him out to the weekly event on my behalf, okay? And here in town, it's relatively easy to do that. You want to have at least one or two or three people that you commonly do three ways with. And then what I like to do is when I get a brand new person in, I like to train them in how to be the, you know, say Ryan just signed on and I was prospecting Ashley, you know, I might say, hey, Ryan, listen, I got someone who's just looking at the business. He just made senior associate, right? He's been with me 2 weeks. I said, would you be willing to share your story with her? He says, okay, fine. Now I get him on the phone. He's sharing a story with my prospect. He just made a $180 bonus, okay? But just as importantly, I'm training him how to be the expert on the three-way phone call. And guys, the difference, I've got organizations that use three-ways, and I have organizations that pretty much don't. And the staying factor and the growth factors are pretty much incredible. Like, I got a guy, I'm not going to say his name because some of you might know him, but he's an executive director on my team, been with me for 15 years, but his numbers stay pretty flat. 60, 70 memberships a month, 7-8 recruits a month. Okay? I got other guys that never just continues to grow. And guess what? And their recruits continue to grow. You know, there was a period of time where the company was going through some transitions and recruiting got soft and wasn't going as good. Those times are over. My personal organization's up 31% in recruiting this year over last year. Okay? You know, I want to grow that 31 to 50, and then when it gets to 50 to 100, right? And so anyway, the good news is everything's in place again right now. Everything's in place. And the pay program, and then these guys have been so good at doing stuff like the double up bonus that was just announced. I mean, that double up bonus is golden because what if you got 10 people on your team to buy into that and go on up and sign up 2 people each in the next 10 days, right? Now you've just added, 10, 30 people to your team, and you got all those folks that are still now eligible to go out and get their 1 and 3 and get the bonus. You could have a baby recruiting explosion just as a result of buying into that promotion, right? So, good. And again, like, the fundamentals, like I said earlier, practice is what brings competence. So people say, people ask me, well, how do you know what to say to people on the telephone, this and that, and the other thing? Here's what I'm going to tell you. You'll never ask me that question after your first 1,000 phone calls. After your first 1,000 phone calls, you'll have figured that out. And, I almost never know what I'm going to say when I'm prospecting somebody ahead of time, because what I'm going to say is really dependent on what they tell me, right? And I'm going to find out where they're at in their lives, how they're doing. I'm not going to talk a lot about the business until I know enough about them that I can I can decide that they would be an asset to the team and it would be good for them. So it would be a win-win, right? So, and that really goes back to people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care. When you show a genuine interest in people, they respond to that. But now the key is, the one thing about a genuine interest is you can't fake it, right? Okay, good. Okay, so put the fun in the fundamentals. Have fun doing it. If you've got like a full-time occupation and you're doing the business on part-time, or even if you're doing the business full-time, my recommendation is to schedule your timing. So, for example, anyone ever learn to play a musical instrument as an adult, right? If you learn to play a musical instrument as an adult, you need to practice. And what I found there is it's the best way of doing it is you have a practice time. You don't like practice at 8 o'clock in the morning one day and then 4 o'clock in the afternoon the next. Usually, set it up. This is my time to practice. Same way with that business. It's really good to develop a systematic approach where, when you make your calls, maybe it's not at the same time every day, but on the same times every week. We used to always use Sunday nights as inviting time because we found out most people were home and most people didn't want to have to go to work the next day. Not everybody, but most people, right? And so we found it was a really good time to invite people to take a look at it, maybe put them on a conference call that night, and then follow up with them by getting them out to a PBR or a weekly event. Okay, but the numbers game, guys, and the exposure process. When I say exposure process, what that means is this. It's not an event, right? If I put somebody in the process, here's what I know. It's going to take anywhere from 4 to 12 to 15 exposures before they've gathered enough information to make a good decision for themselves. So I might test the waters along the way, say, you know, Ryan, based on what you've seen so far, are you ready to get started? If I'm the expert in a three-way phone call, that's a question I'll ask very often. If he says no, because I'm just testing the waters, right? Based on what you've heard so far, are you ready to get started? If he says yes, then let's forego more information. Let's just get him started, right? But if he says no, I'm going to say, well, what else do you need to know? What kind of information can we get you? Now he's telling me what I need to deliver to him to help him make that decision, right? Here's just a little trick I learned from Brian Tracy. If he says, well, I am, but I got a few questions. Okay, this is the trick. When you say a few, how many do you mean? He says, three. I said, I'll tell you what. You ask me all three questions, and I'll be able to figure out, you know, what order to answer them in, right? Now he's asking me all three questions. I'm saying, and I might even say to him, like, based on, you know, if I can answer these three questions for you satisfactorily, would you be ready to get started? Right? Good question. Now, if I answer those questions, the next part of the process is getting them started. I'll tell you a side story on that. I did that one day with a guy. I said, I said, well, I got some questions. I said, how many? He goes, well, I don't know how many, a bunch. I go, more than five? He goes, yeah. I go, I'll tell you what. Why don't you write them all down and fax them over to me? Remember the days when the fax paper was thermal? You remember what fax machines are, by the way? Right? Well, for those of you who are too young to remember a fax machine, the early fax machines would have thermal paper in it that came in rolls. Not page by page, but rolls. So me and Steve were living at my sister's house in New Jersey at the time, and we shared the upstairs bedroom, but we put the fax machine downstairs because sometimes the fax machine would go off in the middle of the night and wake us up. So we leave it downstairs. So I say to this guy, in fact, I think the guy was from Salt Lake City, in fact. I forget his name right now. He's not in the business. I haven't seen him in years. But I go downstairs a half hour later to get his fax, and there's 523 questions. Maybe it was 2 hours later. It was like a list of questions. It was like, so I called up this guy I knew who was fairly, was in the business with us, but he was fairly, like, also too over-analytical. There's other words to say, but I'm not going to say them. So I called him up. His name is Ray. I said, Ray, listen, I got this guy. The guy's name was Terry. I said, the guy's name is Terry. He's got a bunch of questions, and I really just don't have the time to answer them. Would you, can I turn them over to you as a prospect? He said, sure, I could. And so I turned him over to him, and it was out of my hair. You know, on a side note, if you're in the process of prospecting somebody and you find out they're a pain in the neck and you don't like them, don't think they're going to change. Okay? I mean, if you really don't like them in the prospecting process, my recommendation is don't recruit them. That's just mine. I mean, you can do what you want to do, but I have found through experience that if they're a pain in the neck in that process, they remain a pain in the neck once they become an associate. Okay, so number one, possibility. Number two, a clear vision. Number three, selling the dream. Number four, personal development. Number five, a genuine interest. Number six, it's a numbers game and fundamentals. Master the fundamentals. You get better by practicing. Number seven, and this one was, I had six down. I was riding alone with Kai. I read to the six. I said, you want to help me finish the training? She goes, sure. I go, I need a number seven. Okay. And she said timing. And you know what? And timing, when we see the timing and we respect the dynamic of timing, we will do the work today to benefit. Because here's what's going to happen, guys. We're here and we're at 1.6 million members, and we're going to eventually go like this, and we're going to get to 10 million members, then we're going to get to 15 million members. What we put in place here is going to be amplified over that time, right? So if you put 10 people in the business this year And they each, and, you know, half of them duplicate that next year, and then half of them duplicate the following year, then your team's going to start growing like that. And typically what we have found is that production follows recruiting by about 90 days. That production follows recruiting. So if we have a recruitment explosion here, we can expect a production explosion 2 to 3 months down the road. Okay? But timing in that respect is everything. It's like the work that we do today, each of us, will be amplified over time. If we wait, I mean, and this is a crazy thing. When George and I got started, there were 300,000 families approximately covered by our membership. Today, there's 1.6 million. Okay? And it grew pretty well, and then we had a bit of a stall when we changed ownership and stuff like that. But now we're back in the ramp-up stage. And so because we're back in the ramp-up stage, we're going to watch that 1.6 million do the same thing, 300 to 1.6 million. What is that about? I'm not good at math, Ryan. That's about 5.5, 6 times growth. So if we go 6 times growth on the 1.6 million, you know, we're talking over 10 million. Now, over 10 million, folks, fortunes will be made. And the real question is whether, you know, you're going to include yourself as part of that fortune being made. I mean, and it really is that simple. I mean, it's that simple. You got to. But again, if you see the vision of the timing, you'll borrow from the vision of the future to do the work of today. You know, and we borrow from the promise of the future to do the work of today. I would never, ever, 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 ever not want to be commission-based. I'd rather be paid on my results than paid by the hour. You know, if you're going to get paid by the hour, there's always going to be a limit on it. If you're going to be paid a salary, there's always going to be a limit. But if you're paid based on the results that you create, and in the network marketing scenario, you know, we're not like limited by what we can do ourselves, right? I mean, it's so beautiful, is that I have found this over time. I work with people here's what we work with, the willing. Okay? Here's what we don't do, convince people to be successful. My friend Chip says, most people will not participate in their own rescue. So what we're doing is we're sorting through to find the ones that will. And even if it's only 5% of the people that will, we go through 100% to find the 5. But then, and here's what I learned a long time ago, is that I call it the law of the few. We go through the many to find the few, but then the few bring us the many. So I'll give you an example. You guys know who Rob McKenzie is out of Canada? Rob runs the Ontario marketplace. Rob got his $100,000 ring. They opened in Canada in June of 1999, and Rob made $100,000 before Christmas that year. Why? Because the market was ripe. He had worked for it for 9 months before they opened, planting seeds and doing this, doing that. Well, Rob, I'll put it like, I signed up back in the VHS days. I sent a video to a guy in Texas. He was an attorney. That guy sent a video to a guy in New Hampshire who he knew from a Tony Robbins seminar. A guy in New Hampshire read a book by a guy named Michael Klaus called Future Choice. And in the back of the book, there was an 800 number. He decides to call it. And who answers the phone but Michael Klaus, the author of the book? Michael, he starts like yap, yap, yapping. Michael Klaus, who's a trained network marketing professional even at the time. I didn't know him, but he's about to join my team. Michael Klaus then says, do you have a video? Do you have any kind of video I can watch? He says, yeah. So he sends, and check this out. I sent the video to the guy in Texas. That guy sent the same video to the guy in New Hampshire who sent the same video to Michael Klaus. Michael Klaus, though, is a trained professional, goes out and buys a case of videos and distributes them freely and becomes my first executive director in that organization. He gets a contract with another network marketing company to be a speaker for them, this and that, and so he puts this business on hold. But before he does it, he has signed up a bunch of people, including a woman in Montana who used to live in Washington State, who signed up another guy in Washington State, who signed up a woman in Washington State, who signed up a guy in Toronto, who signed up another guy in Toronto, who signed up Rob McKenzie. Okay? Today, you know, Rob McKenzie's organization, that team probably generates about somewhere between 25 and 30% of my income. Okay? So, what happened? How did that happen? I had no way in the world of ever meeting this guy except for through this type of a system. And so therefore, what you want to do is you want to make sure the thing that existed there was easily duplicated all the way through. Half the people I never met in between me and Rob because they never showed up at a major event, right? But they were there and they continued the chain of people. So here's my point. I went through the many before I found Rob. And Rob turned out to be one of the few. But now Rob has brought me many. And that organization today continues to grow. And so, you know, I'm in touch with Rob on a regular basis, but guess what? He doesn't need me. If I disappeared from the face of the planet, his business would still grow. Because he knows what he's doing, he's trained and stuff. So what you want is, you want to have about five people like that. If you have five people like that in different organizations, you're a platinum two. You stay platinum two for a year, the company's going to give you you do it for 3 months, they're going to give you a $10,000 bonus. You do it for 6 months, they're going to give you another $15,000. Do it for a year, they're going to give you another $25,000. Plus, they're going to give you a monthly lifestyle bonus. It's crazy. We get $2,000 extra a month just for remaining platinum. Plus, then they take us on a trip once a year. Last year, they brought us to Rio. This year, we're going to Barcelona, Spain. Next year, we're going to Iceland. So I don't ever plan on missing platinum because the perks are too good, right? But, you know, we didn't get there overnight, but we got there through a concerted effort in the marketplace, knowing what we were doing. And here's what I was doing. I was using the team. I started a new team, and I would grow that team by what doing what? Plugging them into the system, letting the system do its work. My goal was always then to get the brand new people out to an event like the John Maxwell event. They get out there, and now I got Jeff Bell and Donnell Self and Brian Crothers doing my job for me, right? And John Maxwell. Now, so that new person then, you know, then what I'm going to do with that person is encourage them to continue the path and build into the next 90-day event, which would be the kickoff event in January. And then from there into next year's event in Oklahoma City. Looks like in 2019, Oklahoma City is going to go through some changes. So we may move the spring convention that year. And guess what? One of the cities they're looking at is Salt Lake City. So if you win the free trip to that event and it's in Salt Lake, make sure they pay for your limo. Right. Well, Uber from St. George. Okay, so again, we're going back to the timing of the matter, okay? The timing is so important. But here's the beauty right now. It is so wide open, it's silly. It's just so wide open. And it was that wide open when we started, and it continues to be that wide open. You know, we were in Georgia the other day, and some of the leadership there I was meeting with them. And one guy was telling me he's been conducting an informal survey, and only one out of every 10 people he talks to has heard of us. So it's only 10% of the folks that he meets in Atlanta, Georgia, are aware of who we are. That means 90% of the people out there, approximately, never heard of us, don't know what we have, don't know what we're offering, and 70% of those folks don't have their will done. I mean, so that's just how rich it is and how wide open it is. What that gives us the ability to do is to build in front of that curve. You know, and that's what timing is all about. You know, I saw that early on, and, you know, quite frankly, I thought we would have grown much faster than we have. But meanwhile, even at the rate we've grown, my family's been paid over $7 million. So it's like, I don't care. I mean, I know Jeff Bell wants it to grow. I don't care if it just keeps growing and they keep paying me half a million $600,000, $700,000 a year. I do want to get to $1 million a year, just so I can say I make $1 million a year, right? I mean, I guess there'll be other things to do with all that extra money. Besides give it to the government, right? But again, the T in timing, as Dave Cibula would say, is more important than the T in talent. And here, you don't got to be that good. You got, like Mr. Stonesife would say, you just got to be busy. You don't got to be that good. You got to be busy. And it's how many people can you have the story told to? Not just you yourself, but driving that and duplicating that throughout your organization. The key to success in our business, people ask me all the time, you think this will work? You think this will work? You think this will work? A lot of things will work, but not everything will duplicate. So you want to make sure that the acid test is, will it duplicate? Duplication leads to the law of numbers, which leads to leverage. Leverage is one of my, from a business point of view, one of my very favorite words. The more leverage we have, the less work we have to do ourselves. Like Brian Cruthers would say, he would say he was industriously lazy, but I've never seen him be lazy till that new baby arrived. Now every time I see him, he's holding his little baby. I think it's so cute. Because you change people. For Brian, this second child, his second baby, I just see a big change. I always thought he was just almost ruthless as a business person, which is okay with me. I mean, but now he's like a little softy. Yeah. Brian, did your brain go mushy or what? But I opened in. I got four grandkids now. The oldest is going to be 12. And before I had any grandkids, I used to, like, my friends who would have grandkids, I'd say, what happened to them? They used to be so matter-of-fact, and now they're so... And then I had a grandkid, and my brain turned to mush just like theirs. Okay, and then number eight. And number eight, and this is really the last of my eight ones, right? And last week I did seven, but then I added eight right in the, or 2 weeks ago while I was doing this talk. And number eight is developing self-appreciation. The word appreciate, when real estate appreciates, what does it do? It goes up in value, right? When you appreciate yourself, your sense of value goes up. When you show appreciation for others, they feel more valuable. You know, and appreciation is a very interesting dynamic, because if I appreciate Kate, she both feels appreciated and appreciates me more, right? And that's a tremendous, tremendous, powerful dynamic, because we can literally help people feel more valuable by appreciating who they are and appreciating what they are. Now, here's a couple of notes about that. Here's why, among the reasons you should appreciate yourself, is that you are a unique person. You're a unique individual. Just like no two snowflakes are the same, no two human beings are the same. You've got uniqueness, and you've got what you bring to the table that nobody else can bring it. If Ashley does not bring her gifts forward and share them with all of us, nobody else can do it for her. Those gifts just will remain unshared. You know, and because you have that uniqueness in you, you've got greatness within you. You've got, each single one of us has that. Now, it's our job to develop that. It's our job. We have innate talents, but it's our job to develop those talents. You have the things that you're almost naturally good at, but it's your job to do the finishing touches on it, if you will. You know, greatness is within, but it needs to be developed. You see it in sports a lot. Like, I remember we were talking about this with somebody, about success, like overnight successes and things like that. And somebody said that Don Mattingly, which is a great baseball player, and he was known for being a great hitter, someone said to him, you know, you've got such a natural swing. And he said, yeah, you know, that natural swing took years to develop, right? Years of practice. And he has the same thing. practice will make you better here. And but the beauty of it is, when you practice, what are you doing? You're calling people, you're following up people, you're reaching out to people, you're meeting people. You know, Dave Cibula was still the master at this. I mean, I've been with Dave, and I've watched him, like, we're in the concierge level at the Crown Ravinian in Atlanta. It's breakfast time, and we're having a big conference there, so there's about 15 to 20 Legal Shield associates and about 15 to 20 other people, 10 to 15. Dave comes in, and he says hi to everybody. And then there's people he doesn't recognize. Next, he's like, hey, are you here for the conference? No, well, what are you doing here? And right in front of all of us, we're all sitting there eating our breakfast. We watch Dave recruit somebody. I picked him up at the airport one time in San Diego. I got him by baggage claim. And if you've ever been to the airport in San Diego, in order to get over to the parking lot, you're going up these escalator stairs. We're going up the escalators, and he looks down, and there's a guy 40 yards away. Hey, Jack! Hey, Jack! And Jack looks up and goes, I'll send you that stuff I said. And we go on, I'm like, you know, but the guy really did. And Dave always said this. He said, you know, I'll give you Dave's technique since he's not here. He goes, first thing he says, hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
And when you put your hand out, guess what? You know? And then he says, the other thing you do is find something you like about, you know, you like. I mean, find something you like. Steve, I love the color of that tie. You know? He says, and he would say, when you pay a compliment to somebody, they feel good, right? And when they feel good, they're more open to you. And it's the same way with appreciation. So not only is it important for self-appreciation, but it's important to develop the ability to appreciate others. And I'll tell you, that ability is developable. You can, if you develop it, you can see, you can start to even intuitively sort of get a sense of what someone's good at. And you just get better and better at it. But you've got to, you know, you have to want to be good at it. Right? So, like I said earlier, it's not what you get, it's who you become. And who you become determines what you get. Now, you've got, going back to this sense of appreciation, you've got this. You've got the uniqueness and the greatness and the gifts that you bring to the table. And, you know, you want to make the fundamental choices to bring them to the table, to be the best that you can be. If you continually to develop your ability to be better and better and better and better, you know, you'll develop that. And, I mean, among the different things you'll do, I think that one of the keys to, you're not aging, but to sort of stay more vital, keep your level of vitality, is to continue to work on yourself, is to continue to work on getting better. The books you read, the audios you listen to, and those kinds of things, the seminars you attend, and then, of course, just as importantly, the people you hang out with. You know, and the law of association says you become pretty much like the five or six people you hang out with, so it really is worth it to every once in a while, you know, check that out. Am I hanging with the right people? Are they moving in the right direction with me? Sometimes you've really got to minimize some of those relationships and stuff. You know, but I'm going to close here and just tell you the two things that I'm going to recommend everyone do is be very serious about growing your percentage of the room. That in the next month's Super Saturday, you know, before you leave today, count how many people you've got in the room. And next month, don't just wish for more people. Set a goal for how many more people. And write that goal down. You know, Steve and I, throughout our career, have always been goal-obsessed. I mean, we would have, like, as we were coming up through the ranks, we would have a goal for how many people we wanted at the weekly meetings coming up week, how many new prospects, how many new guests we wanted there, how many associates we wanted there. Every week, we would write that goal down, and then we would keep track of it. And manage bringing that goal into existence. Okay, and then the second thing is make sure that you're in Columbus, Ohio. You know, if you're looking here today and you just want to make an extra $500, extra $1,000 a month, you don't got to come to Columbus. But I recommend you expand your vision and your goals, and you come to Columbus, because you know, how many people have ever read John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I mean, what a great book, right? And when I read that book, first time I read it was about 2002, I think. I think I'm on my fourth read right now, because I'm reading it again in preparation to go see him. Of course, it was revised at one point, so it's even better than it really was in the beginning. But, you know, that book helped me change my stance as a leader. And that's what you want. You're like, you want to continue to change. You want to, you know, like, I hate when people say, don't ever change. No, 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 change. But change for the better. Just continue to sharpen your axe. Continue to develop your skills. And with that, I'm going to bring my good friend, Mrs. Kate Burns, back up to the front of the room to talk about some exciting events coming up, and then we'll wrap up. So, guys, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and attention.
All right, folks. I've got like 4 pages of notes. I don't know about you guys. Please give them another hand. All right. Can I have the thing, please? Thank you. You know, it's interesting. Ms. Amelia talked about it. He had so many points that I just kept writing down. And, you know, you go to an event and you expect that it's going to be great. And you never really know what that missing element is that is going to take your business from this level to the next level. You never really know what it is until you sit down and there it is. Sometimes I hear people who say things like, you know, I can't really make it this time, but you go and you bring me your notes. My husband and I are sitting next to each other, and I kind of peek over at his notes and the stuff he's writing. I'm like, are we watching the same training? Right? Because we're getting different things out of this event. We're getting things based upon where we each are at this particular place in time in our lives and in our business. And I'm so grateful that I got to be here. You know, Mr. Miller talked about so many things, like, you know, don't just wish to increase your real estate in this room next time. Make a goal. Isn't that so powerful? Oh, my gosh. And guys, we talk about the successes. We talk about the money a lot. But I'm telling you, Legal Shield is so far beyond just the money. One of the things Ms. Amelia didn't talk about is the foundation that him and his partner are created. They have an orphanage in Guatemala that they run, a boys and girls orphanage. They just built a school, I believe Ms. Kimelia was telling us about last she came to town. And there's so many kids that get to have a sense of normalcy, a sense of love and growth, because of the dedication that him and his partner have put into Legal Shield, because they've continued to grow, to learn, to commit to getting better. Yesterday I was speaking with him, asking him, you know, you guys have the most, you know, steady, and I shouldn't say steady because that's not really a good thing in the business, but I mean really solid platinum foundation in the company. Like, and that's something that I aspire for my own goals. So, like, how do you develop leaders to where you have people not just get to executive director, but, you know, become executive directors? See, there's a difference between hitting executive director and becoming it. When you have an organization that organically has the needed requirements to get to that place, that's really what you look for. And he said something that stood with me that was so insightful. He said, all my leaders are in this to become wealthy. And I don't know if it does for you what it did for me, but when you're in this to become wealthy, and you can become wealthy for whatever reason it is for yourself, right? Some people want to give more. Some people want to travel more. Some people want to check off some bucket list items. Some people want to just be a better version of themselves. Some people want to just prove somebody wrong who told you you couldn't amount to anything. It doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, when you're in this to become wealthy, your mindset is so different. When we come to an event like this, it's not about coming back here next month for a Super Saturday event. It's about who is coming with you. I mean, we have, and let me go ahead and let the cat out of the bag about the gentleman that we've got coming up next week. Y'all ready? next month, not next week. This is a gentleman, I think about 90% of this room being conservative is on his organization, and you don't even know it. You know, he got started in Legal Shield many, many years ago, and he actually was going to school. He was going to study to become a doctor as he started his Legal Shield business. By the time he graduated, he was doing Legal Shield part-time, and he was making more money as a part-time Legal Shield associate going to school to become a doctor than many of his professors. When he graduated, he hung up that, he calls it an expensive receipt, his doctor degree. He hung up his expensive receipt on the wall, and he didn't even practice medicine for a number of years until just recently he decided to go and open a chiropractic office and you know, practice those things that he went to learn while still remaining an executive director plus in Legal Shield. He's a $100,000 ring earner. He's a millionaire club member with the company and still living his dream today. My good friend, Mr. Dr. David Hugh, is going to be our next guest. Yes. I think I got a little click happy there, but the date for next Super Saturday is going to be July the 8th. So mark your calendars, July the 8th. And the question is not if you're going to be here. You're here. Leaders show up, and you guys showed up, so you are leaders. I get that. Now, what percentage is this of this room will be a part of your real estate become the most important question. Now, here's what we've done. Just so, by way of appreciation for people who show up here, and this is a deal that you only get when you are at Super Saturday, okay? For those of you who got your ticket here today, you noticed you paid $20 at the door, right? And so for you being here, you actually get to have two tickets for $30 because you are here today. Now, you can buy several sets of two, right, and just have that deal. Why? Because you have the mindset of having an organization, having a huge portion of the room coming back with you. So when you're out throughout the month and you're prospecting, you have the tickets with you. You have the knowledge of, okay, this person would be awesome to take to my next Super Saturday with me. Does that make sense, you guys? So we have a very unique opportunity today to take advantage of that. And I'll kind of wrap up with this. We just got back from the Bahamas not too long ago. Yeah. Mr. Parker will scream every time he hears the word Bahamas. He hasn't recovered from that yet, man, guys. I tell you, I have a lot of incriminating photos of people. So just people are going to be nice to me because they just, like, have to. Just saying. But, you know, and people ask me what my favorite thing of that vacation was. What's not to love, right? You know, we got to take a couple with us that just recently got married, and they never got to have a honeymoon, and that got to be their honeymoon, the Harpers. We got these other guys with us that got to check off a bucket list item, swimming with the dolphins. So they have cool photos, you know, swimming with the dolphins. We have folks that's never been out of the country. All of a sudden, thanks to Legal Shield, yeah, you know who I'm talking about. Never been out of Utah. I mean, listen, we got so many people participating, but you know what my favorite part of this event was the fact that I got to be there with people that I know and love that are part of the organization. It just gives you it just humbles you to places that, you know, you can't even understand. Just sitting there hanging out with them, you would go to dinner together and just kind of watching them experience all of this. You can't put a price tag on that. When you work your business and you sacrifice enough that as a result of that, you get to make an impact, no matter how small, on someone else's life enough that they get to experience things that they otherwise never could have, it does something to you, again, that you can't put a price tag on. So I want to congratulate those who made it to the Bahamas, and I know we'll have a lot more group at the next a trip that the company puts together. They're always calling us. There's four of them now. But everything starts with what you do now. How many people get to come back with you at the next event? And I was hoping to announce what we have coming up in August. I'm going to hold off on that for now. But I'm telling you, it's going to be the biggest event. We will for sure have both rooms open in the month of August. All right, we will break this wall for a fact, and we will allow for the folks that are here, of course, to take advantage of getting tickets first before we open it to surrounding states. Because people will come in from California for this, people will come in from Colorado for this. It's going to be the biggest event that we've had yet. This is August I'm talking about. But to set the stage for August, you need to pack the room on July the 8th. With that, that is my time. Those of you who are going to the cabin, come see me after you've gotten your tickets. The ladies are back there ready for you. Thank you so much for your commitment and your time. God bless. I've been crying so low, been trying this here for years. And I got nothing to show, just climbing this rope.